the name of Allah, the All-Merciful, the All-Compassionate. Praise belongs to Allah, who allowed none to witness when He created the heavens and the earth, and who took no helper when He authored the spirits. He has no associate in divinity and no support in unity. Tongues fall silent before the limits of describing Him. Intellects fail before the core of knowing Him. Terence fall low in awe of Him. Faces are humbled in fear of Him. And everything mighty yields to His mightiness. So to Thee belongs praise again and again, well measured, continually and methodically. And may His blessings be upon His messenger endlessly, and His salutation everlastingly, eternally. O Allah, make the beginning of this day of mine righteousness, its middle prosperity, and its end success. I seek refuge in Thee from a day whose beginning is fright, and whose middle is anxiety, and whose end is pain. O Allah, I pray forgiveness from Thee for every vow I have vowed, and every promise I have promised, and every pledge I have pledged, then failed to keep for Thee. I ask Thee concerning the complaints of Thy servants against me. If there is a servant from among Thy servants, of a handmaid from among Thy handmaids, who has against me a complaint, because I have wronged him in respect to himself, his reputation, his property, his wife or his child, or because evil words I have spoken about him in his absence, an imposition upon him through inclination, caprice, scorn, zeal, false show, bigotry, whether he be absent or present, alive or dead, such that my hand has fallen short and my capacity has been too narrow to make restitution to him or to annul my obligation to him, I ask Thee, O He who owns all objects of need, which are granted by His will and hastened to His desire, that Thou blessest Muhammad and the household of Muhammad, peace be upon them, and makest the one I have wronged satisfied with me in the manner that Thou willst, and givest me mercy from Thee. Forgiveness decreases Thee not, and giving injuries Thee not. O most merciful of the merciful, O Allah, give me on every Monday two favors from Thee: the facility to obey Thee at its beginning, and the favor of Thy forgiveness at its end. O He who is Allah, and none other than whom grants forgiveness for sins.
Today's special.
Assalamu alaikum.
It's special for you. We present to you today. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, in the name of Allah, the Most High. Dear brothers and sisters, Salamun alaikum, and so welcome to your program, Today's Special from IRIB English Radio. What is the topic of today's episode? It's about unity in diversity. Today, Sunday, is the 10th of the month of Rabiul Awwal, 1443 of the Islamic Lunar Hijri calendar, corresponding to the 25th of Mehr, 1400 of the Islamic Solar Hijri calendar, and the 17th of October, 2021 of the Christian Gregorian calendar. We bless this moment of today's special by recitation of Chapter Al Imran, verse 105.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Wa la takunu kalladhina tafarraqu wa ikhtalafu min ba'di ma ja'ahumul bayyinat wa ulaika lahum 'adhabun.
And do not be like the ones who became divided and differed after the clear proofs had come to them, and those will have a great punishment.
La ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah.
Bless your day with contemplation on the verses of the Holy Quran.
We ought to learn lessons from the bitter divergences between schools of the former times. We should know that the root of separations is not always only the factor of ignorance, because desires also cause discord. Separation and disagreement not only breaks our power in this present world and finally destroys it, but also brings fire of hell to us in the hereafter.
Sallallahu ala Taha, khayril khalqi wa ahlaha.
Sallallahu ala Taha, khayril khalqi wa ahlaha.
Khayrul khalqi huwa al-hadi, nurul kawni bihi badi. Amma an-nas bi-irshadi, azka al-khalqi wa ardaha.
Unity of diversity we're talking about. This is today's special from IRIB English Radio. There is so much we can gain just by uniting in good. Our Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him and his pure progeny, was a man of unity. He ensured that he spread love and kindness wherever he went, and just through these actions, he attracted millions of people to join the religion of Islam. The power of unity is so vast that just by coming together, we can change lives. We can uplift those who are feeling down, and we can create a sense of belonging to those vulnerable and those who feel alone. Through unity, a lot can be achieved. Unity brings people together, creating love, harmony, and generosity between them. As believers, we can use unity as a platform to spread kindness to others, as well as an opportunity for our spiritual growth to become closer to Allah, the Almighty.
Dr. Fakhr Rohani.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim wa binastay. We find that in the whole world there have been some attempts in Muslim lands. So there have been some attempts in order to come up with this kind of religious integration amongst Muslim communities. According to the views of Ayatollah Khamenei, the supreme leader of the Islamic Revolution of Iran, we find that this integration and unity isn't something strategic or something by way of attaining something else. Rather, this is an Islamic principle. Islamic unity and integration is a principle in itself, not something like a tactic or a strategy or a stratagem in order to achieve some other results or some other outcome. Now we find that according to the views of Ayatollah Khamenei, Islamic integration and unity is one of those items that's regarded as something mandatory and quite one of the necessities in the Islamic religion.
Special topics for a special program. You can listen today, now and here, IRIB English Radio.
May this moment last forever in your hearts, a day you'll always remember every part.
Today is a special.
This feeling of love, just let it grow forever through your life. Bring beautiful years of joy between you till the end of time.
Islamic unity, the main responsibility of Muslims. Dear friend, all great aspirations require serious efforts. No great aspiration can be achieved in the absence of serious efforts. Unity among Muslims is not an exception. It requires efforts. It is our duty to make efforts to create unity in the world of Islam. This unity can solve many problems. It can bring about glory for Muslim nations and communities. Consider the current situation of Muslim countries in the world. Look at the situation of Muslims, who currently make up 1/4 of the entire world population. However, their role in world politics, even in their internal affairs, is far less important than the role of foreign governments and superpowers with evil intentions. They seek to dominate us. They seek to humiliate Muslim nations and force them into complete conformity.
Every night and every day, every night and every day, never forget to say, La ilaha illallah, never forget to say, La ilaha illallah.
Now, let's pay attention to things we can do to develop a culture of Muslim unity. One of them is reflect on Hajj as a time for Muslim unity. Use this time on a personal basis as well as within your family and community to remind Muslims of how the Hajj is a unifying factor for Muslims. Hold a family meeting about this topic. Organize a seminar at your mosque about how Hajj is a beautiful symbol of Muslim unity. Make sure your speakers are those who have performed Hajj and can attest to this fact. Also, brainstorm practical ways the lessons of unity from Hajj can be implemented in your community throughout the year and come up with an action plan in your community. Say it with your children and family and think about its meaning, remembering that you are at Allah's service and we cannot serve unless we are united.
When we speak of unity, I would like to confirm to you that the most important aspect and tool that can give you unity is faith. A faith that is connected to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A faith that is correct, that is true. Imagine the wonderful impact that it can have on your life, on your social life, psychological well-being, physical well-being. This is the power of faith. And there is no power greater than faith in giving you and delivering to you unity. When we examine the life of the Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi, Allahumma salli ala Muhammad. How is it that the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, achieved success? Yes, he was supported by God, but the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, also used natural means in order to achieve success. One significant factor that led to the success of the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, was that he brought forth to people an inclusive religion. A religion that does not know any barriers. The Prophet accepted people from all over the world at the time. People from Abyssinia, people from the Roman Empire, people from the Persian Empire, the Arabs who were living there in Mecca and Medina. The Prophet accepted everyone. And that's why people were so attracted to the message of the Holy Prophet. You know, contrary to what many people think, and this demonstrates the diversity that we see in the religion of Islam. Many people, especially Westerners, they think Islam is an Arab religion. When they think of Islam, they immediately think of what? Arabs, right? You'd be surprised that Arabs constitute or comprise only 15 to 20% of the Muslims. Less than one-fifth of all Muslims today on the face of the planet are Arabs. And about 80% of them are non-Arabs. And this demonstrates to you how diverse the religion of Islam is, how unified this religion is. Because a religion which originated in Arabia, and yes, the people of Mecca and Medina were Arabs, but 14 centuries later, 80% of the followers of this faith are non-Arabs. And this is a lesson for us. How our religion succeeded. It was through unity. The Prophet, peace be upon him, truly brought this unity to his society. And he united people who were fighting and, you know, killing each other for centuries. فَأَصْبَحْتُمْ بِنِعْمَتِهِ إِخْوَانًا, the Quran says. Through the Holy Prophet, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made you brothers. But it was a very difficult challenge. They were blessed to have a leader like the Holy Prophet. But it was very difficult for those people to accept each other.
Dear friend, that was all for today's special. Inshallah, we visit each other, same time, same channel. Till then, may Allah keep all of you in safe and peace. Have a nice time.
Mustafa, anta nabiyul amin wa sayyidul mursalin rahmatan lil alamin jitta bil haqqil yaqin anta nabiyul amin wa sayyidul mursalin rahmatan
Food for thought.
Hello dear listeners, and we congratulate you all on the blessed 10th of the month of Rabiul Awal, the wedding anniversary of the Prophet of Islam and the virtuous lady Hazrat Khadija al-Kubra, peace be upon them. Here is a famous saying from the Holy Prophet in memory of the First Lady of Islam, who was his only wife for 25 long years. By God, the Almighty did not grant me a better wife than her. She believed in me when people used to mock at me, and she acknowledged me when people denied me. She shared her wealth and property with me, and she bore me children which I was not destined to have through other women.
Join us in this journey, IRIB English Radio. Please log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/EM.
Hadith of the day.
Here I am, yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no more, no more.
You're listening to the program Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio with Sheikh Yasser Ibrahim, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Wa sallallahu ala sayyidina wa nabiyyina wa maulana Abil Qasim al-Mustafa Muhammad wa ala ahli baytihi at-tayyibin at-tahirin al-ma'sumin. Assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, dear listeners. Welcome to another episode of Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio. There are some pretty fascinating and amazing traditions that we have, and many of them were advices given from one imam to the other. And if these traditions are true, and you know, all the hadith studies and all the, you know, things that have to go around them, for example, the proving of the sanad and everything else is true, that particular advice from one imam to the other shows the importance of that particular advice. Because one ma'asum, one infallible individual, is telling another infallible individual about a particular act that must be done. Obviously, it's not for that individual, but it is for us. The importance of that act is shown to us as the followers of these individuals who are ma'asum, who are infallible. One such advice is given from Imam Sajjad alayhi salam to his son Imam Al-Baqir alayhi salam. Obviously, therefore, it is narrated to us by Imam Al-Baqir alayhi salam. The Imam alayhi salam narrates that when his father, Imam Sajjad alayhi salam, was approaching death, Imam Sajjad alayhi salam hugged Imam Baqir alayhi salam and brought him close to his chest and said to him, "O my son, I am advising you of the same thing that my father advised me." So Imam Al-Hussein alayhi salam advised Imam Sajjad alayhi salam this in his will when he was approaching death. Now obviously we know what happened to Imam Al-Hussein alayhi salam. So therefore it is possible by this hadith that Imam alayhi salam wrote a will and he put it in the possession of Imam Sajjad alayhi salam. And the same thing that he said that his father advised him. So therefore Imam Ali alayhi salam advised Imam Al-Hussein alayhi salam the same thing. And what was it? The Imam alayhi salam, Imam Sajjad alayhi salam tells Imam Baqir alayhi salam the same thing that Imam Hussein alayhi salam told him. The same thing that Imam Ali alayhi salam told him. And it is not far-fetched to understand that the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam told us to Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam that, "O my son, beware of wrongdoing one who has no helper against you but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala." That when you are fighting or you are oppressing or you are doing bad to somebody who has nobody else to help him in this world but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, know that you are facing a very difficult enemy or opposition rather. For that person is only going to seek help from Allah, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is too merciful to reject one who has no helper but him. And expect something very difficult to come to us if we do this. So we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to, you know, implement this advice that we do not do any injustice to anybody, especially that person who has no other helper but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we can find many examples of this in our daily lives. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to protect us from the wrath of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Inshallah, until next time, my dear brothers and sisters. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah wa barakatuh.
That was the program Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio with Sheikh Yasser Ibrahim, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom.
Oh Lord, here I am, pleading at your door. Send me your mercy, send me your peace, or I am lost for sure. Oh Lord, here I am, yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no more, no more.
Iqra بسم ربك الذي خلق.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها المزمل قم الليل إلا قليلا نصفه
أو انقص منه قليلا أو زد عليه ورتل القرآن ترتيلا
ودعوتك ربي بقرآن جنبني حراني.
Let's recite the Quran.
ناجيتك أرجو غفرانك يا من ينجينا إحسان ودعوتك ربي بقرآن.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In the name of Allah, the Most Compassionate, the Most Merciful. May the peace and blessings of Allah be upon the soul of Prophet Muhammad and his purified progeny. Dear audience, Assalamu alaikum. Welcome to another episode of the program Let's Recite the Quran, coming to you from the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran. I'm your host Mahdi, and we are joined by Quran expert, dear brother Muhammad. Assalamu alaikum, brother.
Wa alaikum assalam, brother Mahdi, and Assalamu alaikum. Dear listeners of this program, I'm glad to be with you as always.
Thank you. Well, dear audience, as you may know, this program consists of different Quranic parts. First, we are going to talk about a famous Quran reciter, and then we are going to listen to a recitation by that reciter. After it, Brother Muhammad is going to analyze that recitation. Besides these parts, we're going to have some other Quranic segments which are going to be presented to you. So, dear audience, stay tuned.
كتاب أنزلناه إليك
Today we are going to listen to a recitation by Sheikh As-Sayyid Mutawalli Abdul Al. He was an Egyptian reciter who was born in 1947. At the age of 7, he memorized 3 juz of the Holy Quran, and when he got 12, he managed to memorize the Noble Quran completely. During the time when he was memorizing the Noble Quran, he learned tajweed rules and took part in Quranic gatherings as a reciter. At first, he followed the style of Sheikh Abdul Basit and Sheikh Mustafa Ismail, just like many other beginners. But very soon, when he was only 13 years old, he invented his own style of recitation, and that is one of the points that makes him stand out among other Quran reciters. In 1980, the Egyptian radio and television started to record and broadcast his recitations, and that was the time when his powerful voice was heard from beyond the Egyptian borders. He traveled to many Arab and African countries in the Islamic month of Ramadan to recite the Noble Quran. In 1992, he was invited to Islamic Republic of Iran as a referee of the 18th International Quran Recitation and Memorization Competition. And after the competition, he visited some cities including Qom, Mashhad, Kerman, Yazd, and witnessed the Iranian enthusiasm towards the Noble Quran. He passed away in 2015 at the age of 68. May Allah bless him. Now it's time to listen to Sheikh As-Sayyid Mutawalli Abdul Al reciting verses 16 to 21 of Surah Maryam. Let's enjoy it.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم واذكر في الكتاب مريم إذ انتبذت من أهلها مكانا فاتخذت من دونهم حجابا فأرسلنا إليها روحنا فتمثل لها بشرا صدق الله.
Dear audience, what you just listened to was recitation of Surah Maryam, verses 16 to 21, recited by Sheikh As-Sayyid Mutawalli Abdul Al. Now, Brother Muhammad, let's talk about this beautiful recitation.
Yes, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. The first verse that Sheikh As-Sayyid Mutawalli Abdul Al recites is verse 16 of Surah Maryam. And we have Ra Sakina. It's really important to pay attention to how Ra Sakina has to be pronounced with either Tafkhim or Tarqiq. Okay. The point is that you shouldn't pronounce Ra Sakina with Qalqala. And this is extremely difficult because in colloquial Arabic, usually the Ra Sakina is pronounced with Qalqala. For example, Mara'a. We hear that the Ra has a kind of qalqala. The same is true with respect to Ayn. Ba'd. Okay, we shouldn't pronounce Ra or Ayn Sakina, which are both letters of Tawassut, with qalqala. And this is what Sheikh Mutawalli Abdul Al does. Wadhkuru. Wadhkuru. That's incorrect. Wadhkuru fil kitabi. Maryama. So you have to hold the Ra a little bit without any qalqala.
And to pronounce it with tafkhim.
And with tafkhim here, because it's preceded by a letter with fatha, Maryam, and dhamma, wadhkuru. In the word ulkur, you have Ra, sakina, preceded by a letter with dhamma.
Mutafkhim, we mean thickness. We have to
with
actually
thickness, yes,
make the mouth full.
Yes. For example, if we were to pronounce it with tarqiq in the word fir'aun. Fir'aun. This is a ra sakina.
With tarqiq or thinness.
Tarqiq. Idhintabadat. We have ikhfa of nun sakina. Idhintabadat.
Because ta is a letter of ikhfa.
That's right. And so you have to approximate the place of articulation of ta without making the tongue touch the place of articulation of ta. And also, you have to make a nasal sound at the same time for two vowel counts. This is ikhfa.
And actually, the first step is to omit the noon.
Yes, you should not
pronounce noon at all.
You should forget about the place of articulation of noon. Okay, there's no noon
anymore.
We only approximate the place of articulation of the letter after the noon. And what remains of the noon is the nasalization.
Yeah. Or we can say, because ikhfa means concealment, we can say a noon conceals behind the letter of ikhfa, that is ta here. And what is actually audible is the ghunnah of noon.
Right. Min ahliha. Now this is the opposite of ikhfa. Min ahliha. You have to pronounce the noon sakina clearly and from its own place of articulation. You don't approximate any letter. You don't do idgham.
Yes.
Which is impossible. Mi ahliha, that's impossible. Or there's no ikhfa. Mi ahliha again. You shouldn't do that. You have to pronounce the noon
as it is.
From its original place of articulation and with all of its characteristics.
Because actually we have a letter of throat,
Ilhaw, I think. Yes, the letter of throat after the noon sakina.
Could you remind us of those letters?
We have six letters. And they're like pairs, okay? Each pair has the same place of articulation, but one is voiced,
the other is voiceless.
Hamza and ha, they're pronounced in the glottis. Hamza is voiced, ha is voiceless. Ghain and kha, they're both pronounced with the root of the tongue and the uvula. Ghain is voiced, kha is voiceless. Ayn and ha, again, they're both pronounced from the same place of articulation. Ha is voiceless, while ayn is voiced. So these are the six letters of the throat.
you. Let's continue talking about the 3 points.
Yes, let's go on to verse 20. And we have a noon which is mushaddad, right?
Yes.
And so we have to apply ghunna,
nasalization
for two vowel counts. يَكُونُ لِي غُلَامٌ وَلَمْ. Here we have idgham of nun sakina. What does idgham mean? Idgham means merging one letter into another letter. And in practice, it means that one letter is omitted and the other letter is pronounced with tashdeed. So here we don't pronounce the nun sakina. Instead, we pronounce the next letter with tashdeed. Ghulamun becomes ghulamualam.
Here, because we have waw, ghunna should be applied.
Yes, ghunna should be applied to the waw because it's one of the letters of yamun.
Thank you, dear brother Muhammad, and thank you, dear audience of IRIB English Radio, for staying with us. That was the final part of the program, Let's Recite the Quran. If you have any comments, questions, or suggestions, feel free to email us at englishradio@irib.ir. And don't forget to visit our website, that is parstoday.com. Until our next program, we'll leave you in Allah's care. Have a nice time and goodbye.
ذكر وموعظة ونور فيه شفاء للصدور وشفيعنا يوم النشور آياته تروي المدى وصفاته نبع الهدى نلقى الجنان بحبه لن تستقيم حياتنا إلا به والقرآن والفرقان إليه تنصت الأكوان وفيه تعطر الآذان والقرآن ضياء يملأ الآفاق ونور يبعث الأشواق وفيه محاسن الأخلاق هو القرآن.
The Ocean of Dua.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين ثم الصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وآله الطاهرين. Hello everyone, brothers and sisters. I am Sayyid Muhammad Hassan Mudarrisi with you with another edition of the program The Ocean of Dua. In this edition of the program, we'll have a glance at Kumail's supplication and we'll discuss a commentary on that. We'll be back in a few seconds, so stay tuned.
Allahumma ighfir li adh-dhunub allati tahbisu ad-du'a. Allahumma ighfir li adh-dhunub allati tunzilu al-bala. Allahumma ighfir li كل ذنب أذنبته وكل خطية أخطأتها اللهم إني أتقرب إليك بذكرك وأستشفع بك إلى نفسك.
Imam Ali عليه السلام in this part of the supplication Kumail says, اللهم اغفر لي الذنوب التي تحبس الدعاء. Oh Allah, forgive me those prayers which hold back supplication. The prayer is a comprehensive worship and the most beautiful ritual for expressing our humility to the Lord of the worlds. We have sufficiently discussed the true meaning of prayer and how we should understand the depth of the meaning of the word. The Quranic verses and the traditions have revealed invaluable facts about the prayer. Prayer prohibits human from engaging in wrongdoing, from engaging in unlawful things. Establishing prayers is a sign of the believers. All the prophets would establish prayers regularly. The prophets, they all recommended their family members to offer prayers too. Observing the prayers is an obligation. Prayer is amongst the religious laws, the cause of Almighty Allah's content, and the Prophet's manner. After the acceptance of the religion, prayer is probably the core of Islam. Everything has a value, and the worth of the religion is its prayer, because prayer is the sign of being a believer. Prayer is a major barrier against the satanic inspirations. Prayer brings about the guarantee of Almighty Allah's mercy, as He Himself has said it. The dearest deed before Almighty Allah is prayer, and we have talked about it before, because it is the true way of expressing our service and humility to the Lord. Prayer is the last recommendation of the Holy Prophet ﷺ before his demise, and the light of his eyes, as he himself has stated, because prayer it is the one which makes the servant closer to the Almighty Allah. It is the pillar of the religion, and saying prayers while observing all its conditions leads to forgiveness.
Oh, first of the foremost, oh, last existence after the last. Oh Allah, forgive me my such sins which tear away my safeguards. Oh Allah, forgive me my such sins as would bring down calamity. Oh Allah, forgive me my sins that would change your favor. Oh Allah, forgive me my sins that would hinder my supplications. Oh Allah, forgive me my sins which descend misfortunes. Oh Allah, forgive my sins that suppress hope. Oh Allah, forgive every sin that I have committed and every error that I have earned. Oh Allah, I seek to draw myself nearer to you through your invocation, and I pray to you to intercede on my behalf. And I beg you by your benevolence to draw me nearer to you and grant thankfulness towards you and inspire me to remember and to invoke you. Oh Allah, I ask you begging submissively, humbly and awe-strickenly, to treat me with clemency and mercy, and to make me pleased and content with what you have granted me, and cause me to be modest and unassuming in all circumstances.
The first deed that is observed by the Almighty Allah in hereafter is prayer. The first thing which is accounted for is prayer, because it removes pride from human heart. Because with prayer, there will be no space for something like hypocrisy or greed or cupidity or any other attributes we talked about earlier. The meaning of prayer is to care for Almighty Allah and nothing and no one else. It is the one which removes pride from the heart, and the prayer with that of piety is accepted and helps all the human beings to stay away from committing sins. Now,
One of the elements that has been mentioned in the narrations to be a hindrance for the acceptance of the supplications is postponing the prayers. The preference of prayer at its appropriate time is like the preference of the hereafter to this rule, as we have it in one narration, and it is regarded as more precious than wealth and children by the believer. So we have been ordered, and it is highly recommended, that all the believers perform their prayers on time. One who does not say prayers is away from Almighty Allah's mercy and will not see the intercession of the mediators. He is a disbeliever, and since prayer is the pillar of Islam, this person who does not say prayers will be from among maybe the Christians and Jews in the last day. One who despises the prayer is ignored by the Almighty Allah and by His Holy Prophet ﷺ, and of course his supplications will not be accepted, leaving, despising, or delaying the prayer holds back the supplications, the acceptance of the supplications. This element, dear listeners, is one of the most important ones, and since we have talked about the reality of supplication dua, and specifically the prayer itself, we'll stop here and talk about the other elements in the next program. Thank you for staying with us, dear listeners. We ask the Almighty Allah to set us among the guided ones and the people of the straight path. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Thank you, dear listeners of IRIB English, for listening to us. If you have any question regarding our programs, feel free to email us at englishradio@irib.ir. Also, visit our website at parstoday.com. Until the next program, take care and goodbye.
Our voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran. IRIB English Radio.
This man changed the world.
Allahu Akbar, Khomeini Rahbar. Allahu Akbar, Khomeini Rahbar.
Our bosses couldn't cope with the idea of an 80-year-old Ayatollah, which they didn't even know what an Ayatollah was, who lived on garlic and onions and yogurt, directing a revolution that was about to topple America's most important ally.
Shuma dar in qarn mo'jiza kardid. ملت ایران ملت معجزه آسای قرن است.
الله اکبر خمینی رهبر. الله اکبر خمینی رهبر.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In the name of Allah, the Exalted, the Most Compassionate, the Most Merciful. Salam, hello and welcome to our audience, and particularly a warm welcome to our regular listeners of our program, The Man Who Changed the World. This is a program dedicated to the life and times of Imam Khomeini, may God bless his great soul. And I'm your host on this program, Ijaz Hussain. Once again, I'm joined by Dr. Mahdi Torabi to give his insight on the topic of the great Satan. I'd like to say salam to him and welcome him to the program.
Alaykum salam wa rahmatullah. Thank you for having me.
Dr. Mahdi Torabi, the topic of the great Satan, this was a title that was given by Imam Khomeini, may God bless his great soul, to the U.S. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't something that was given out of emotion, given out of any, shall we say, hatred towards the Americans. This was something that was mentioned as an indication of the nature and character of what the U.S. has become in terms of this imperialistic power that seeks hegemony throughout the world. Right. So, Dr. Mahdi Torabi, your take, because, of course, you know, the Islamic Republic of Iran has been at the brunt of, you know, hostility of the great Satan, and for a variety of reasons, principally because you got rid of its good friend, the Shah, here in Iran. And secondly, you, the students, overtook an embassy, I remember, just a few months after the victory of the
revolution. I was very young at that time.
Yes,
I wasn't
we
part
were.
Of
we were very young at that time, and wish we had participated also in the overtake of that embassy, which was called the Den of Espionage, as I remember it.
Right.
And I remember Jimmy Carter panicking on the television screens about, you know, the hostage crisis, wasn't it? You know, 444 days when this espionage staff was, you know, held here in Iran. And of course, that led to a lot of tensions between the Islamic Republic and the great Satan, the USA. But your take since then, and about, you know, the Imam's great insight and depth into in terms of giving, you know, this these kinds of terms for the US, because of course he wanted to make the Muslims understand that who is their real enemy.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. I think that's good what you said in terms of, you know, making people understand who the real enemy is.
Yes.
I think at that time, okay, let's start it with this way.
Yes.
Okay. Just as a matter of principle, obviously Imam, you know, was very calculating in terms of, he was very careful in what he said.
He was, yes.
He wasn't somebody who was given to, you know, and you can see the tapes and you can watch the films from back then.
When he said something, he meant it.
Right.
Mm.
He wasn't these people that would just, you know, come out with some statements.
He
spoke quietly, calmly.
That's right.
And, you know, he was a man of 80.
Yes,
so,
he was.
You know, he wasn't really going to get up and
yeah, exactly.
You know, do an imitation of Mussolini or whatever, you know, or Hitler in terms of, you know, Astaghfirullah.
No.
So